you for these next few minutes, that everything that we do, everything that we say is for your honor. We'll give you all the credit, God. We will not hold one bit of it to ourselves. We give you all the credit, all the glory. You have done great things, God, and we bless you and honor you today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. If you have your Bible and you'd open it up with me to James chapter 5. I want to read the scripture to you in just a few minutes. When we talk about the power of God's healing touch on a life, you can get all kinds of interpretations. Some people are turned off by the very thought of it because of disappointment in their own life, or then things that they've seen and experienced. It's kind of been exploited and really painted in a negative picture. Some people embrace it. They can believe God for miracles to happen and see them when others have just turned that off. And the pendulum has swung so far for some that they just don't believe that God can do anything like that. They embrace this idea of sensationalism where miracles, they did happen, but they don't happen anymore. When the last apostle died, the miracles and anything that God could do ended. But I want you to know today that God is still, he's still in the miracle working business. And because of what I've seen, not only in my own life, but in the lives of others, you can believe this morning that God wants to do things in and through your lives. He wants to display something tangible in your life and intervene in your life in a way that you can and will encounter something supernatural in your life. But I want to take that to a level this morning that you might, I hope it brings some understanding and it brings some light to it. And I understand that for some of you, you're here this morning, you've been disappointed because you haven't seen what God can do. Like myself, I've stood in at the graveside at some that I thought God was going to do a miracle in, only to see that that didn't happen and it left me hurt. I went through that in my own mom's life. I saw that happen. I was a young Christian at the time. My mom, 58 years old, cancer. And somebody told me I could pray for her, and I prayed for her, and she still died. But that does not change what God can do. And what the most powerful thing, and I'll drill down on it just in a few minutes as well, is that a week from the day to the hour to within the 10 minutes of time, my mom gave her heart to Jesus Christ. 1 week to the day, to the hour, almost to the time. My mom gave, you ought to get more excited than that, gave her heart to Jesus. And see, that is the greatest. Because I'll see my mom again someday. I will see her again. And you know, that propels me to do what I do. I am on a mission to take as many as I can with me to heaven. And God wants to work inside of you as much as he wants to work on the outside. I want to read this verse to you in James chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, is anyone, I'm reading out of the New International Version, is anyone among you in trouble? And I'm sure, knowing the demographics in this house, there's a few of you here this morning. And the answer comes to it. He says, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Thank God. Is anyone in here happy today? Yes. Yeah. Let them sing songs of praise or love songs to their wife when they have an anniversary. All right. Come on. Is any among you sick? Here it is. Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord, he'll raise him up. Look at this. He goes on beyond that. Because he just never wants to give you something to help the outside. He's always wanting to go inside. He said, if they have sinned, they'll be forgiven. Woo! And then he goes on to say, he brings some components to it. He says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and it is effective. God bless that word today. If you don't have that circled in your Bible or underlined, or you don't have that somewhere where you can read that, you're going to need it, and you're going to need to stand on that. And many people will stay sick because they will never step out and call. They will never avail themselves to what God wants to do. I was talking to a man just yesterday. He said, "Oh, excuse me," he said, "I've been sick for 3-4 weeks. He's coughing and sneezing." I'm like, "Okay, stay a distance, brother." I said, "Have you gotten any help?" He said, I'll just work through it." Stubborn man. Yeah, praise the Lord. But here the Bible says that you are to make the call, you are to make the effort, you are to go, and many stay sick because they never respond to the call of God. And then the Bible says to anoint them with oil. The oil is a symbol of God's Holy Spirit. There's no power in the oil, but it's just like when we partake of communion. It is a symbol. We obey God in that, and he works through that. And then God takes us to this other level. He says, "I want you to confess your sins to someone else, because when you do, I'll heal your hurt. I'll heal your body. I'll set you free in the midst of that, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And why don't we see this every time? Because his ways are not my ways, neither is his thoughts my thoughts, and it's not clear to us all why he does one thing one time and does another time. But 1 John 3:2 says, "Dear friends, we are children of God, and what we shall be has not been made known." I don't know everything yet. The older I get, the more I figure things out. He says, "But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And a lot of people are saying, "When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why." Can I give you a little hint? When you get to heaven, you're going to see him, and you're going to know it right then and there. You're going to understand it. And there will be times on this earth when we don't understand everything. Even the great scripture, the chapter of faith, Hebrews 11:39, says, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them had received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for them, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." And I wonder what that is. What could be better than what I need and what I want right now? But we need to trust him, because in the end, I believe that God's going to work it all out. I really do. Because God still, to this day, he heals people. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom." I want you to know today, if you're under an attack, God says, "I'll rescue you from that. I'll lift you up out of that. I'll take you and I'll keep you from the destruction that the enemy has set out for your life." God still heals. God still restores. God still makes new again. And the reality is, he's more concerned about my soul than he is just about my body. You know, your body is different than who you are on the inside. You have a soul on the inside of you that is going to live forever. But your body, like the car you drove in on, is going to give out someday. And Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, "Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And many are only thinking about earth and what we can have happen for us right now. And God says, "I'm thinking way beyond what is going on in your life right now. I'm thinking about heaven." And thank God for healing. Thank God for miracles right here. But God is saying the greatest miracle that can happen in your life is when you surrender your life to Christ and you make him Lord and Savior of your life. That is the greatest. Come on. And even saying all that, we must believe God for the miraculous. And God wants you and I to grow in our faith. But he's looking for something so much deeper in us. to be connected to the process that is going on inside of me. We are connecting many times with what is happening to us and where God is more concerned with what's happening in us. And while we are going through the thing that we are praying for, God is working something on the inside of you. And there is a journey of our faith that takes place in our life. That when we allow Him, He takes us to these deeper levels in Him. And we have a greater understanding of what He wants to do in us and with us. And for many, He'll allow you to come to a place of desperation. And you have, at that moment, a decision that you must make in your life. You can choose to turn away, but you will end up in a cold, lonely, dark place that never gets any better. Or you can make the decision, I'm going to turn to Him. I'm going to allow Him to change my life. I was going over my notes. I was in my office yesterday, and the Lord just reminded me of something. And I'm telling you, I haven't thought about this in decades, 30 years anyways. I was contemplating my own journey. I was reflecting on how I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a very dysfunctional home. My dad, a raging alcoholic. And in our home, we had a small home, a small living room. And in the living room, there wasn't much in our house that we could have that was glass, because he would break everything. Dishes, windows, pictures, anything. When he went on the rage, everything got smashed, broken all over the floor. You couldn't even walk on the floor. It was so covered in glass. But we had this mirror up on the wall. It was a small mirror. I can remember it. I was imagining it yesterday. I told my wife about it, and she said, honey, I remember that. I didn't even remember her, you know, being in my home. She was a couple times. And on the top of that mirror was about an 8x8. It wasn't a plaque. It wasn't framed. It was just like a hard piece of, it was dark blue. And it said, the Lord is my shepherd. And it had a picture of a shepherd with a sheep on it. No scripture verse. I didn't know anything about it. And I remembered it. It took me back when I was a little boy. And at the same time yesterday, I'm in my office, and Patty she's got my granddaughter Judah in the kitchen, who just a little older than I was at that time. And I remember looking up at that picture when I was a little boy, my father coming home from a drunken stupor, beating my brother in his bedroom that was right off of our living room. And I knew he was coming, he'd just go right down the line, beat everybody. And I remember looking up at that picture. I didn't know who God was. I didn't know anything about Jesus. I didn't know anything about what was going to happen here today. But I remember looking up at that picture, and I said, if there is a Lord and you can do anything, you need to do it right now, because somebody is going to die. And boy, I thought of that yesterday. Come out of my, I had a meltdown. I really prayed and asked God, Lord, I've got too much to do this morning. I don't want to have that same meltdown. But I begin to reflect at that moment in my life. I walked out. There's my granddaughter. She's smiling. They're laughing. They're happy. I'm standing in the service this morning. First one, I'm holding hands. I got grandkids on every side of me. When I was a child, that never happened to me. But I reflected on that. And I wondered if that dark, dismal, hurtful moment in my life was the beginning of my preparation for what I do right now. You see, sometimes you'll go through a difficult time, and I'm talking to somebody else, that maybe you were raised up in a home like that. And if the power and the Spirit of God wanted to come and touch you, it can't, because you can't reach out from where you are. You're afraid. You're held in that element of fear where you can't trust the Lord that He wants to not only heal your body, but He wants to heal your soul. He wants to heal what has happened on the inside of you. He wants to set free the brokenness that has been created. And maybe you didn't have anything to do with it, but I want you to know that you're here today, and God has everything to do with your deliverance today. Oh, and I thought about that, and I thought when I got older and I started to go down that same road, and then I met my girlfriend, and her father was so mean, said, "You're going to date my daughter, you're going to go to church." And I said, "Okay." And you know the story, I fixed him, I became the pastor of a church. But I could have gone that other way. I could have gone down that road. When I was 13 and 14 and 15, I started doing the very thing that I said I'd never do. This isn't even in my notes, and I don't even know why I'm talking about it right now, but somebody needs to hear this. God wants to bring you up out of where you were brought up and the things, the negative and the evil seeds that were sown into you. He wants to bring you up out of that, and he wants to use what the enemy meant for evil to do something great in and through your life. Your life is not over. Your life is just beginning. God's got something great in store for you, and it's going to begin today in your life. Come on today. In Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I don't need just faith when everything is going good. I stretch my hands out and I embrace faith when I am in trouble, when I am sick in my body, when I get the word that my wife has cancer or my son had a stroke. I reach out to God and I put my arms around a loving Savior that is greater than me. He's greater than the sickness. He's greater than the disease. He's greater than the failure. He's greater than the backslider. He is greater. And then in that same book of James, James, he pulls a story out of the Old Testament, out of 1 Kings. And he says in James 5:17, Elijah was a human being just like you and I. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I want you to know today, faith begins in your life and mine with a word from God. And you cannot grow in your faith or walk by faith until you hear it, you experience it, and it becomes a part of what's happening inside of you. And you and I have to take some time to allow that to happen. I'm not someone that believes in longer is better in anything. But I want you to know that when you come to God, you cannot put him in this time frame. Okay, God, you got 5 minutes or you got 15 minutes. Listen, you can put the preacher in all the time frames you want. I can handle it. I know some of you, you set your clock the moment you walk in here. Good for you. God bless you. And when I do your funeral, I'm going to do the same thing. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. I'm not. I did have this dude come up to me one time. I shouldn't even tell you this. I'm not. I'm going to move past it. No, I don't have to. I have to love my wife and love God, but I don't have to tell you that story. But I'll tell you anyway. So, I didn't even know the person. I was just called. I do that all the time. I walk in there, you go do a funeral. People are grieving. You're feeling better. Walk in there. The son comes walking up to me. Hi, I'm so-and-so. Hey, listen, I've got golf later on. How long is this going to take? I looked at him. I did not articulate what I wanted to say to him at that time. I said, we'll be done when we're done. See, that wasn't as exciting as you were anticipating right now, was it? It was hurtful. It was sad. But the point is I'm trying to bring to you is today that we want to do everything that we want. We want God to fit this in our time. Okay, God, you got this amount of time. You better do it. The preacher better be done. The singing better. Because if you go over 1 minute, I'm walking out. Because I got to get my newspaper and I got to do my thing. The bills are going to play. And all the time, God is saying, I want to deposit something in you. Listen, I'm not saying this to have a long church. I'm not. We're going to be done at the same time. But what I am telling you today, that if you're going to move into that dimension where God is going to really touch and change your life and perform a miracle inside of you, you have to wait on him to get a word from heaven. You have to do that. Romans 10:17, listen to the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. It's the word of God. Listen to some of his word, because I want to deposit a word into you today. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. And somebody needs to hear that today. You need to have a word from God in your life that you can stand on when you're going through sickness, when you're in cancer, when you're in a challenge. Jeremiah 30:17 says, I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. He wants to heal somebody today, and he wants to restore you from the wounds that have happened in your life. And Matthew 8:2-3 says, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He said, I am willing. He said, be clean. And immediately he was cleansed from his leprosy. Who am I talking to today? Let the spirit of the word of God get inside of you. Matthew 18:18. I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven again. Truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth shall agree about anything they ask for, it will be done by my Father which is in heaven. Mark 11:23, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it shall be yours. Come on today. You have to have a word inside of you. John 10:10, see, the thief comes to steal it and to destroy your life. Jesus said, I've come that you can have life and have it to the fullest. Romans 8:11 says, and that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body and make you alive and heal your sick body and raise you up out of that brokenness and restore your broken marriage and give you the financial miracle that you need in your life. 3 John 1:2 says, beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. It's got to be working on the inside of you. And then faith continues regardless of what I see in that story in 1 Kings. 3.5 years have passed and Elijah begins to declare that the drought is over. And when I read that this morning, I felt something rise in my heart and my spirit to tell somebody today, your drought is over. Today, the dry time in your life ends. Today, your sickness, your infirmity, your pain, your fear, it's over today. 1 Kings 18, he said, go look towards the sea. He told his servant, and he went up and he looked, and he said, there's nothing there. He said, 7 times Elijah said, go back. A lot of times when God is working in somebody's life and they don't see what they want, when they want it, they say, there's nothing there. I went to church twice and I didn't get what they were talking about. I went to church. I gave $2 in the offering. How come I didn't win at the casino? Elijah says, go back. Not to the casino, to church. He said, the 7th time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand, it's rising up out of the sea. And Elijah says, it's coming. He said, go tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Maybe God likes the closeness of you and I coming back. Maybe you and I need to go back and we need to revisit some of the things that we learned when we were younger. Sometimes we get older and some people get so mature in their faith that they never come and fall on their knees at the foot of the cross anymore. And Jesus says to you and I today, keep on going back to where he touched your life. Do it over and over again. We walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7, and not by what we see. If we just looked, he said, there's just a cloud size of a man's hand. It's nothing. But the man of God who is filled with the Spirit, who had a word from God, said, go tell him there is a gully washer, there is a rain, there is a monsoon coming. And I declare that over your life today. There's good coming to your life. There's healing coming to your life. There's restoration coming to your life. Watch it. It's coming. Prepare for it. It's on its way today. Thank you, Jesus. And then faith goes from a small beginning to a grand finale. That story in 1 Kings 45 and 46, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain came, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. God will give you power, supernatural power, to take you beyond your own limits and your own power and your own strength. Quit saying, I can't do that. Quit saying, I've done the best I can. You know when people tell me, well, it's just the best I can do, it's because they have settled at a particular mark in your life. Erase that mark. Tuck your cloak in your belt and begin that journey ahead and run ahead and watch God strengthen you and fill you with his power and cause you to do things like you've never done them before. Hallelujah. That's for someone here today. That's for someone here today. I'll leave you with this scripture verse in Zechariah 4:10. Don't despise these small beginnings. Don't look at a small start like it is absolutely nothing. Don't do that. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin in your life today. Praise be to God. Come on, did you receive that today? Come on. I want to pray for those. I want to bless those. Garrett, I don't know where you are, but those who have gone through breast cancer or are going through it, we want to give you something today. I want you just to raise your hand. I don't want anybody to feel bad or feel, you know, strange or anything. But if you'd raise your hand, the ladies, we've got something that we want to put in your hand. I just want you to put your hand up in the air. Girls, come on down. And as they give that to you, I asked Garrett, I heard this song again. He sang it. It's such a beautiful song. God's going to help you through that. God's going to get you through that. After we do this, then I'm going to close and we're going to pray for people, okay? Go ahead, Garrett. Just put your hands up if you've been through it or you're going through it this morning. We want to bless you today.
See joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you.
Yes, he has. Amen. Yes, he has. Thank you, Garrett. Thank you, musicians. Elders, come on down. I've asked the elders in particular this morning if they'd come and prepare and pray for those that are here today. If there's in your body, if you're sick, if you're struggling with anything in your life at all, not only cancer, but anything else. I'm going to close in prayer. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, you need to do that before you go. You can't continue on in life without him being a part of your life. And he wants to come in. He wants to live inside of you. He wants to take up residence. He wants to help you out of the place where you've been and take you to great new heights. I want to close in prayer. I'm going to dismiss everyone. And that if you're here today, you're going through something. You're going through cancer. We're going to pray against that today. You're going through any type of sickness in your body at all. I want to pray for that. If there's a challenge in your life that you're going through, we want to pray for that. If you haven't given your heart to Christ, we want to help you do that today. Let's pray. Father, today, you've been so good to us. You've been so kind to us. I pray, Lord, in this house today, that you would pour out the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would do in your people's lives what no man, what no doctor, what no therapy, no treatment, no counselor could do, that you would bring healing and help and hope and restoration to them today. I ask you to do that. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. I love you. If you need prayer today before you leave, you make your way right down here. These folks are going to pray for you. Believe God with you for something great in your life. Go in his grace. If you're going to participate in St. Anthony's, I'll see you out back in just a few minutes. Make sure you show love to somebody before you leave today.